Welcome, boys and girls, to this week's Trapping Radio. If I seem like I'm in such a good mood, it's one of those things that life, I guess through chaos, I may see an opportunity, even though I now have about $5,500 worth of actual junk. I may have a really cool way to help trappers. So we're going to get into that, and then we're going to talk about what a true hard-to-catch coyote is. Not what we hear about, not because a coyote doesn't step where you want him to step, coyote, not the one that walks past a trap type coyote that's hard to catch. A true hard-to-catch coyote, actually from a woofer. So we're going to learn what that is tonight, and I'll be honest, if I seem like I'm a little squeamish, my wife convinced me that I need to wear a tank top so I didn't have this crazy redneck farmer tan, because I just wear t-shirts all the time when we're out in the boat and the kayak and stuff. And I'm not even sure my shoulders have seen sun in 15 years, and this was a mistake. I look like a lobster. But it's really weird, because where I've wore a t-shirt forever, from that part down to the sleeves, is just normal, and the rest of me is a lobster in the shape of a tank top. So I'm not sure that was a smart move, but it is one that I am trying to deal with. So if I seem like I cringe every now and then, that's what's going on. Before we get into tonight's show, I want to thank our sponsors. We have great sponsors. We have sponsors that you can absolutely trust. They're dedicated to the trapping industry. There's good people to deal with. Our first one this week is Okie Cable and Trap out of Oklahoma. Jeb's got a full line of trapping supplies. You can get about anything you want, and he always had some odd and end stuff, especially if you see him at a convention. So if you're looking for some odd stuff like buckets, mailboxes, different things like that, he's the first person I always call. So that's Okie Cable and Trap. The next we have F&T Fur Harvesters, everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Just a great bunch of guys. They allow me and give, I've been blessed that they've asked me to help them with their TV show, you know, an episode or two a year, it seems like. They do a lot for the trapping industry. They're extremely professional. They have great service. Their shipping is spot on, and just super honest. Super honest. I've talked about some of the things that with me that they've actually could have easily turned a blind eye and put extra pocket in their money, but they didn't. Money in their pocket, and they didn't. Just really good guys. Then we have Jeff Dunlap from Dunlap Lures. I don't get on social media much, but he was saying that there's people out there that are having an eat hellfire challenge. I guess different things trip other people's triggers. I don't know. I know it's a good lure. I don't think I want to put it in my mouth. I might want to use it for riot control, but I don't know if I'd want to put it in my mouth. But he makes Hellfire, which most of y'all know. He makes all kind of good baits and lures. He's going to be at a show in Kentucky that you can probably find out about on his trapping talk page, or contact him if you're going to be somewhere in the South. There's just not going to be hardly any conventions this year. So if you're thinking about going there, I know he's going to that, so you need to check him out on that. That's Jeff Dunlap at Dunlap Lures. Then we have Funky Trap Tags and Supplies, which is also the sponsor of Man Strong Podcast. Full line of trapping supplies. He's got your catfish baits. He's got different type hooks. He's got big, deer scents and hog scents and bear scents. Full line of predator control stuff. All kind of trapping stuff. He's now, if you use the good stretchers on the market, you know what they are. They're the Red Handle Sleepy Creek. He makes those now. He actually bought those from Sleepy Creek. And he makes what I consider the best stretchers on the market, which is Sleepy Creek. He makes those in-house. Make sure the quality's right and gets them out. So Funky Trap Tags and Supplies, somebody you want to deal with if you want to deal with good people. So I've got $5,500 worth of junk that I just put in the garbage can that really frustrated me. And there's a couple of good lessons here. One, you can't jump to conclusions because half the time you don't know what you're talking about, which was, or thinking about, which was me today. And just because something goes bad, there's always opportunity in that bad if you look for it. So what am I referring to? Back when me and Scott Adams first started going down to Texas together, we had this crazy idea that we wanted to shoot predator hunting with night vision scopes and record it. So our crazy idea was this. We bought a Mars 6-power scope from ATN, and it's a phenomenal scope. We had it on an AR-15. We zeroed that bad puppy in, and then we had a monocular, kind of like a PVS-7, like basically what I had back in the military. Generation 2, really polished tube, high quality, again from ATN. Between the two, I guess we had about $5,500 into this deal. And then the reality of filming in night vision while you shoot in night vision was way above our pay grade of skills to coordinate the two to get anything on camera. It was a disaster. Now, we killed stuff with it, but filming it was a different story. So then, you know, since that time, I've used it on bobcats and coyotes at night and use a monocular to, you know, go out, drive, because you can drive with a monocular if you've never had one on a helmet rig. And so you could go out through the ranch without having to have lights on. You can see the same way we drove in the military. And then when you spot stuff, you pull out the scope on the AR-15, which is night vision, give directions of where it's at because the other person won't be able to see because they don't have night vision on. And then, you know, you could pop a bobcat or a coyote or a hog or whatever that you're going for. So very practical for predator control. And we've talked in the past about guys that use night vision in beaver control. Instead of waiting around and having to apply wits with the last beaver in the area, you know, you go knock a hole in the dam, get away from it, wait till he goes fix it with night vision, pop him in the head, job over. Night vision is not something most trappers think about, but what I learned today was they don't have a very long life. So I haven't been using the night vision the last several years just because here in Tennessee we can't use that. I was carrying so much stuff to Texas, just carrying more stuff after a while became such a problem. So unconsciously, I guess, the night vision stayed at home, didn't really think about it. So they sat still. The batteries are out. They were super clean. I cleaned them up, put them back in the cases, actually had them in a safe. They weren't getting high humidity. And I just assumed, you know what assume means, I just assumed that I could go and put the batteries back in there and fire them up. Now, the reason this became important to me is the other night, me and my wife and my brother and his partner was coming back from a restaurant on the river. And where we're at on the river, it's not like it's straight river. It's nothing but coves and islands there's nothing straight about it. And I've been on it enough now between here and the marinas and around. If I can see something, I can pretty much tell you, okay, that's Dollar Island, that's Half Moon Island, you know, this is Thief Island, this is Goat Island. And I can get a preference of where I'm at. You know, we hadn't been here that long. So we were coming back in the dark, and I thought that I knew what the bank was, but it wasn't. It was an island. So I took a left when I should have went straight. And then I realized this about the time I hit these buoys with lights on them, and I knew that I was in a cut through that the barges uses. So I turned the boat around, go back up the way it was, find the other bank, and come home. And we have big lights on the boat, but lights on the river are not like lights on a car. So they really don't help you unless you're docking. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, we want to be able to go out and, you know, because the places around here, we got very lucky. We've got a couple marinas. They have music on the weekends. They stay open late. It's just fun. People are always happy on the water. And we don't have to come back before dark. So what can I do? And I went, I got it. I will pull out the monocular that I used to drive the Jeep with. And so at night, I'll just use the night vision and guide my big bug back home. I'm a genius. So I get the night vision out. All the batteries are dead. So I order some new batteries. They use these little lithium 123 or C123R batteries. And I get them in. I put them in. Hit the on button. Nothing. I'm like, that's strange. So I take the batteries and I go open the safe and I pull out the big scope. I put the batteries in, turn it on, nothing. I'm like, this is disturbing. So then I go, okay, I'm gonna go read the instruction. Maybe I forgot how to turn them on. Maybe there's a sequence. Maybe there's a button I forgot about or something I've gotta do. I read the whole thing. No, it's just as I remembered. And I'm just flummoxed. So I call up ATN. Well, the guy that I talked to at ATN, I wish I could say that he was helpful, and I wish I could. It actually seemed like he gave a crap at all about my situation, but I can't. It was not the best customer service call ever. He was just a matter of fact that pretty much you're screwed. And this is what he said that where I assumed he was just BSing me to get me to buy a new unit. He said, once you turn those units on, they start degrading. And the longer you leave them off, the faster they degrade. And I'm thinking, like a TV. I've got flat screens TVs that I've taken to shows that they're sitting in the shop. I'm sure 10 years from now, if I go plug that bad boy in, it's going to work. So I was like, no. Something's wrong with this. So I call up a friend, ex-military friend. I'm not going to give a whole lot of details of who this particular gentleman is, but he was with Special Ops. And he didn't give me the number, but he contacted a friend of his that actually does this, teaches this for the military now as a contractor, also in Special Ops. And he called me in about an hour, which I thought was amazing because he's running all this stuff for the military, and my friend asked him to call, and he did. And we had a nice about 30-minute conversation. With ATN, trust me, we're leading somewhere here. What ATN said was correct. The tubes that are in night vision have phosphorus on the inside, and once you turn them on, they do start degrading. So me letting them sit still without using them didn't help the situation any, and now I've got $5,500 worth of absolute junk, which are now in the garbage can. Because the reason I called one friend and he gave me another friend is I thought, okay, there's got to be somebody out there that piddles with these things that can get them back online so I can see in the boat. Because in my mind, I wanted to come back from the restaurants in the live music. But in the back of my mind, I'm like going, okay, if I can get lost with this simple of a route from Blue Springs Marina to my house, it's going to be a lot trickier in the winter when I'm trying to trap and it's dark really late and I don't want to wait that long to get out there. So I could use the night vision to actually see where I was going and see the animals or not animals without turning on a flashlight, if you can kind of follow my mindset there. Well, after talking with this gentleman that now kind of runs this program for the armed forces, he told me I should look into thermal. And I'm going, oh, that's got to be expensive. And he said he's not sure, And he said, unfortunately, one of the best companies, the best products out there comes from ATN, and he said they are a pain to deal with. They're not, they don't seem very nice when you talk to them on the phone. He actually has some of their units and really likes them. So I'm like, okay, so we just get to talking, when were you in, when were you in, and all that stuff that military guys do when you first contact each other. And I told him kind of what I was looking for. He said, you'll like the thermal much better. He said, you'll be able to see 800 meters. You'll be able to see the outlines. You'll be able to see the trees. You can adjust depending on the temperature, what screen you want, white hot, black hot, color. You'll be able to see all that. He said, the water will pretty much look black because you're not going to see reflections or anything in this, which I don't think is going to be a big deal. And he was just saying, you'll like it much better. And he was talking about hogs. And I'm like, you know, we do hogs. And he goes, oh, you'll love it for hogs. And he was explaining with the hogs, trust me, guys, for trapping, we're going somewhere, that when you're out hunting or with deer, unless it's illegal, and it could be, please check your laws, he's convinced me to get rid of my ACOG. I'll still you put it on something else, but I'll put it on my 308. My ACOG and replace that thing with a thermal scope. Because during daytime or nighttime, nothing that has heat signatures can hide. And if you've never seen thermal scopes, you can go look them up online, like JagPro. With the hogs, think of the Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's what they were showing was thermal. And he was like, you'll see more animals than you ever thought were in the woods because you just don't see them. But with thermal, they jump out at you. So I started getting excited about that because my eyes are not as good as they used to be. And I'm like, wow. I mean, you know, like if you think about deer hunting, you've got a lot of open trees. It's, you know, it's fall, the leaves are down. You think you may see something with a thermal scope, you'll know dang well what it is. And they're in HD quality picture. So I was like, wow. So I keep questioning and questioning. And I'm like, you know, part of what I was thinking with the night vision is I could actually check the traps without having to turn on a light on the river and see it. He goes, man, an animal in a trap will stand out like a sore thumb. So my brain goes and you know, we're talking a little bit and I'm going, well, let me ask you a question. Let's say that I put a coyote snare out, catches him about 6 in the evening. I come by the next morning. Will I be able to see that with a thermal scope? He says, yes. Now he's got my attention because of my lack of knowledge or experience with thermals. If you had a dead animal, the thermal wouldn't pick it up because it's not putting on body heat, but that's not the way it works. The core temperature of that animal is still gonna be higher within, you know, night till morning of it any other time. Now, me saying that before you get excited, I don't know if that's true for you guys that live in the wilderness winter hell up north, where it's 20 below zero. That can probably freeze something completely overnight, not sure. But in normal situations, getting down to 10, 15 degrees, 5, 40s, you would still be able to see a coyote, a bobcat, a coon in the snare through the thermal. So then I started asking him, well, is there like a monocular? Does it need to be a scope? He goes, I think ATN is coming out with monoculars and binoculars, and they definitely have scopes because that's what he actually uses on his personal rifle. I'm like, now my brain's going in all different directions. I'm like, how freaking awesome would that be for a home defense? He goes, that's what mine's for. He said, you cannot hide from a thermal scope. So then I'm going, well, crap, I really wasn't thinking about a scope. I was thinking about putting one on, say, my Kel-Tec, you know, 14 round shotgun. But can you imagine the security you would have if you had a thermal scope? Now think about all this madness that's going on today where people think they have the right to come and burn and loot and beat you because of your color or who you voted for. If you hear a bump in the night, you don't have to turn on a flashlight for someone to see you. Because like right now, I've got one of these little high-powered LED burn your retinas out on the other end of it flashlights on that shotgun. If I had to use it. From the military side of me, I don't like lights in confrontations. The bad part is my eyes don't see like they used to at night because they're older. But with the thermal, even on a shotgun, because the size of my property, I can control anything on this point with buckshot. You don't have to be precise with the aim like you would with a rifle. Exactly. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll get a scope with a quick release mount. When we're going out in the boat, I'll flip it off of the shotgun, take it in the boat. When I need to get orientated in the boat to make sure I'm going in the right direction, I just got to flip it up. It lasts for 16 hours on a set of batteries, and I can see where I'm at and go about my business. When I'm trapping, I would disconnect it from the shotgun in the morning. I would have it with me, and I want you to think about how cool this would be. How many times can you see an animal in a trap if you just have to go that extra 100 yards because of whatever's going on? And that extra 100 yards, you're getting close to the trap. If you're using a light, you're kind of showing people where you're at. Like I said, the paranoid military side of me does not like that. You're road trapping where it's legal, and you don't want to turn a flashlight on because of the way everything gets stolen. You just pull up your thermal, see if you got a catch or not. If the trap is sprung, I think he said the temperature difference between air temperature and whatever it's showing has got to be like 0.3 degrees difference. 0.3. I bet you a steel trap shows a different color sitting on top of the ground than earth, because earth is going to be warmer. So you'd be able to see the trap and see if you had an animal in the trap. Now my brain's going wide freaking open. I can check snares without getting that close. I can check traps from across a field at 600 yards. I can road trap without having to turn on a light. Checking the traps. And I can put it on a rifle when I go deer hunting, because I got to check our rules. I'm not sure. But during daytime, I don't know why thermal would be legal. But who knows today? But in your state, it may not be, or it may be, I don't know. But how big of an advantage would you have with a thermal scope, with your trapping, home protection, hunting? Find somewhere that's got hog problems, you can go at night. Really cool things can happen. So I'll go to the ATN's website, and you can get a really nice 1 to 10 powered, which was, I mean, my ACOG I deer hunt was only 5 power, so that's twice as much, with the best resolution and the biggest tube for bigger area to see for about $3,100. Now that's a lot of money, but the difference is it does not deteriorate like night vision does because of the tubes. Now the new military tubes, he was saying, has a different type of substance in the tube that does not deteriorate the same. That's not something you're going to be able to get on the civilian market. So if you're going to spend the money on night vision, say you're going to spend $2,000 on decent generation 2 or 3 night vision, it's not going to last you probably more 5 or 6 years, 10 if you're lucky. But a thermal, you can hand that down to your kids and their grandkids. You hear something go bump in the night, you can crack a window and you'll know exactly what it is, 4 legs or 2 legs. I think it could be a game changer for trappers. This is where the opportunity came from $5,000 worth of junk. And guys, when we talk about opportunity all the time, especially when it comes to revenue streams, have you ever wondered when the first wheel was made? It was actually made in the Middle East before Christ. That's how long ago the wheel was made. 15 years ago, if you had luggage you couldn't carry at an airport, do you realize what you had to do? You had two options. You could put it on a cart with wheels, or you could struggle with that thing you got it checked in. Now, the wheel was made before Christ. And it wasn't until like 12 or 13 years ago that somebody had the bright idea to put the wheels on the suitcases. Just like when I go travel, both of mine got wheels on. I'm not carrying it, I'm rolling it. Now, the wheel is not new, but the concept of putting it on a suitcase was radical. There's opportunity with stuff that's already been there. We see that a lot in trapping supplies. I'm wondering if this is not going to be one of those things in trapping where people that can afford it, or they can save up for it, or they can sell something, or they can get an extra job for a little while to get it. What would it mean to you to be able to drive down a dirt road and have a trap 600 yards away and you can check it from your front seat? See, we've kidded around and talked about drones. You know, you pull into a farm and let the drone go check it. And I guess you could do that if you're really good at the drone. But this is pretty freaking amazing. Because if you got a beaver in a snare, that won't help you on a drowned animal. You gotta keep that in context. But if you had a beaver in a snare and his head's above water, it's gonna be plain as day. You got a dead animal that's only been there for overnight, you're gonna see it. You can think about if you got brush between you and your set, you just climb up the truck bed and look, and you can go catch or no catch and get back in the truck. The amount of time and energy that would save a trapper over a decade would make $3,100 seem cheap. Now, that's for the scope. They have binoculars at ATN that have a thing on there that says notify me. Now, there's nothing here coming back to Clint if you go buy ATN thermals. Nothing. Trust me, when I got off the phone today, the last thing they're going to ever do is sponsor me. But they make binoculars. I don't know what the price is. I think they're going to be somewhere probably around $1,500. So you just put it up to your one eye, close your other eye, and everything lights up. They have binos that are about $3,000 that 10 powered. You just put them up like regular binoculars. It's got range finders in them. It's got all kind of weird stuff. The scopes are freaking amazing. I mean, the technology is in these scopes amazing, but the binoculars are pretty much binoculars with a rangefinder, except it's thermal. So if you're using this thing just for trapping, I'd probably call and see what the binocular was. As far as I know, there's no way to clip them on a head unit, so you can just keep it on at all times and drive around with it, like you can some of the PVS7s and stuff like that, knockoffs. But you just pull it up and you can see. Binoculars, they got high powered ones, which I don't think you would really want. Maybe 10 powered at the most. Think about the time saving you would have in a day. I bet you for most people that could be 20 or 30% more time to set more traps to catch more animals. Now, one of the biggest things that a lot of people in their mind, depending on what type of drag they use, they're worried they won't be able to find a coyote. Do you see where I'm going with this? Now, you can go buy a very good dog, dogs that are actually trained to follow drags. You will spend about as much on that dog when you buy the dog and feed the dog and go to the vet in a single year as you probably would on a pair of thermal binoculars or binoculars. So when the coyote is not in the trap, it doesn't matter if it's daytime nor nighttime, he cannot hide from you. Now, if you're a cat trapper, I've had times that a cat has been 20 foot from me and it's taken me 30 minutes to find him. They will not move a muscle. Thermal does not care. You're going to see it very quickly. And if you're in a state that's not communist laws when it comes to guns, and you have a 22 or a shotgun or something close at hand, and how many times have you seen two bobcats together, one in a trap and one's just right there? Two for the price of one. If you're out west and those cats are bringing $800, how many cats does it take to pay back the thermal? I just think it's a cool idea. Am I going to get one? You damn Skippy. There's no doubt in my mind. Probably what I'm going to do to start with is get the scope, play around with it, get used to it because I can hold it up to my eye like a binocular. And then eventually, when I save up some more money, I'll probably end up getting some binos just for the boat. Or to look around the house. Like one thing for me, Frederick Douglass, our outdoor cat, he has a tendency to hide at night because he didn't want to come in. And he's got this strange tendency. There's a cat that's like 300 yards away that stays at another house. They kind of meet in the middle. Some nights they're friends. Some nights they just kick each other's butt. And one of the nights, Frederick kicked that poor cat's butt all the way up to his house, screaming and hollering. And I thought, if the owner of that house comes out and sees another strange cat whooping on his cat, what's he going to do? He's going to hurt Freddy. But with the thermal, my cat can't hide from me. The dog can't hide from me. Squirrels can't hide from me during squirrel season. Turkeys can't hide from you during turkey season. Deers can't hide from you during deer season. It's almost like you changed the equation to be like the when I was a kid, the $6 million man with his little bionic eye. So many practical ways to use a thermal scope. So many practical ways. And if you're in one of these places where people now have decided that what's yours is theirs because you owe it to them because of something you didn't do a long time ago to some relative of theirs, it'd be like kids playing paintball with a Navy SEAL. And see, one of the biggest lessons I learned in the military is you never fight fair. Because fighting fair is for TV and stupid dead people. So I want to have all of the advantages in everything. I wish the thing could see in water so I could see fish, but apparently that's not going to happen. But that would even be so much sweeter. It is a lot of money. But the advantage is, I believe, you could actually call this piece of equipment for a trapper an actual investment. For a hunter, it would be an actual investment. And trust me, with something as cool as a thermal scope, you'll never have trouble selling it if you absolutely have to. So that's why I kind of seem excited, because my brain's going 1,000 miles an hour of everything I could use this for. For some of you guys that come from the north and trap in Louisiana and Mississippi, I want you to think about one last thing on the thermal scope. I know you're deathly afraid of snakes. Snakes can't hide from this thing either. Just a thought. So now, guys, I want to break into what an example of an educated coyote is and some lessons from this. Now, what this is from is The Voice of the Coyote by Frank Dobie. This is another one of those books that you're probably going to have to find on eBay or Amazon or something like that. The copyright of this thing is... Actually, it's 2001, so this one may not be that hard to find. First copyright was in 1947, but it has been recopyrighted. So there is fresh ones of these out here under like some of the other books that I've kind of read from. So I'm going to read this, and we're going to go back through here and take some points out from this. Now, this is a trapper. Let me see if I can get his name before we start. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Luke Stillwell. He is a trapper, and this was taken forth, I believe, in 1943. And I believe it was in Texas. But he's got a coyote that he's been called in to get that's causing absolute mayhem on sheep. And there's been several trappers there before him, and the reason he knows this, because he's catching several coyotes with just one and two toes. Now keep in mind, the equipment you have today is light years ahead of what they had in 1943. They're cool for the history, but that's not what you want to go trapping with. They're not near as good. So this particular coyote, he nicknamed Old Crip. Is a female. Within 30 days, well, let me give you the backstory. He caught the coyote in a trap. It chewed out completely. Probably running a several day check with a non-laminated trap, something we would never do today, but in probably sharp jaws, not laminated, not offset, not all the stuff that we do today. So he footed a coyote after it's already been towed. Within 30 days, the stub had healed and she was killing sheep again. She killed 60 lambs within a month's time. She went from one pasture to another and killed $3,000 worth of sheep during 15 months in 5 days I kept after her. $3,000 in 1943 is a lot more value today than what we're gonna say that is. She killed often for sport. Any killing leaves plain sign, but old Crip never seemed boastful or reckless in her killing like some coyotes. One night, Four bold ones came into a clean pasture, killed 16 lambs, gorged, went on, met a skunk, killed him, tore him up, rolled him out with taking a bite of his flesh, went on and met a big fat possum, killed him, left him untouched beside the trail. These coyotes were out to shoot up the town. Old Crip would slaughter sheep right and left. Then she was gone. When a coyote with any sense kills a sheep, he knows he's in danger. He eats in a hurry. He takes one gulp and then looks up. As soon as he is full, he makes tracks. No lying around the carcass for him. This was the way Old Crip was. She killed without reason at times, but often always on alert. After the killing was over, she seemed never to be playful or loggy. She stayed unceasingly careful. She never traveled stock trails or roads. Coyotes that travel in that way, and it is natural for coyotes to trot down a road, are easily caught. All the time I was after Old Crip, fresh coyote tracks were coming into the ranch from the big cattle pastures that joined us. They had regular entrances and they regularly got into traps. He's talking about other coyotes that use the roads in these entrances. A coyote seldom learns anything by seeing or smelling the carcass of his mates. A dead coyote seems to mean nothing to a live one except always the highly intelligent ones like Old Crip. During a period of 5 years, in 5.5 years of trapping one big ranch before I came here, I caught 54 coyotes in a single trap at one location, just resetting it and hanging the carcasses of the victim one after another nearby. This was at a wire net fence corner. I had some other traps close by and altogether caught 110 and 115 coyotes at these locations. The easiest kind of coyote trap is a young male. The females, even when they are young, are more distrustful. Old Crip had hardly departed on the ranch for several years when I took up her trail. She would never go under a fence unless another coyote preceded her, showing her that the way was clear. She had probably been caught in a hole under a fence. She avoided all lures, scents, and baits. I caught her the first time in a blind trap, just a naked trap hidden in the ground, place where I thought she might go to water. That was on the night of October 31, 1943. She had miles of Los Mos Creek to water, and she was not fixed by habit to any one watering place. After she stepped down the bank to the water and drank, she backed out, putting her feet in almost the exact track she made coming in. In the spring, I found her den with pups in it. Her mate had no doubt been caught. I set a blind trap at the den. A sheep got in it and fell in the hole, rather large at the mouth. That night, the mother coyote beat a trail around the sheep. I took the sheep out the next morning. Old Crip never returned to her pups. The mother instincts in coyotes is strong. Old Crip is not blind. She plainly suspected, and she was right. There was a hidden enemy that would not let her pass if she stepped into her den and to move her young ones. She left them to perish. In any coyote country, you frequently see coyotes moving about during the day, though it is their nature to be nocturnal. I never once saw Old Crip. It is my belief that she never roamed during daylight hours but kept herself absolutely hidden. So far as I know her, she never howled, except at mating time. She ranged alone. She killed alone. She went in the night and she went in silence. It is a habit with some coyotes, not all by any means, to gorge on the bait on a bit of bait of sheep meat, 6 pounds say, go off maybe 40 or 60 yards in the open country further to where there is brush and shade and there dig a hole, then the animal throws up the meat, still fresh and undigested, into the hole and covers it with earth, just like a dog buries a bone. The coyote that does this will almost invariably come back the next night, dig its meat out of the earth that is kept fresh, and eat. By the time the flies and buzzards would have run the carcass, provided other coyotes have not made off with it. A coyote will rob another coyote's cache if it finds it. The cache, or cache, I think it's just cache, makes good trapping places. Sometimes they bury a piece of meat or bone, mound up the earth over the natural way, and set traps. After a coyote fills up on meat for the purpose of burying it, he goes straight back to the carcass and eats again, either to digest the food or carried away to the young. Now, if Old Crip ever buried a piece of meat, I did not know it. If she ever ate carrion, I did not know it. She had lost the scavenger habit of her species. She was very choosy about her meat. She liked it warm and fresh, and she was particular about the cuts. It was on a night, December 17, 1944, this is a year later, that I caught her the second time in a blind trap on a bluff overlooking water. She must have realized she could not free herself this time. I found her drowned. She had dived off the bluff, gone under some wire netting in the water. The hook on the trap chain caught in the wire. She aimed to kill herself, or so it seemed to me. She had just cut the throat of a choice lamb and eaten on her way to water. I examined her stomach. It contained 5 or 6 pounds of select meat. Kidneys, small intestines, leaf meat, loin, and tender ribs. I've never heard of a lobo smarter than Old Crip. I came to admire her while she was baffling me. She seemed to belong to the hills that I belong to. I think of her lots of times in the night. I will never forget her. Guys, that is an educated coyote. When most people have a little bit of problems, what I hear most of the time is the term educated coyotes. I don't think I've ever come across a coyote like Old Crip. Personally. In as many years as I've done this, if I've never come across a coyote like that, I seriously doubt the thousands of trappers that I've talked to have, even though they think they have. Coyotes walk past sets because it's their nature sometimes. Coyotes don't step on the trap because they don't know where the trap is to step on it for you sometimes. It's just the game of coyotes. So they come to the back, not because they're educated, because they don't understand what you consider the front to begin with, or why your reasoning is why you put your trap wherever you put it. Coyotes will leave an area for a while and come back. That's their nature. Now I want to go over a few of these things that he said in there that I hope sparked a little bit of trapper brain cells inside of your noggin to pick up on. And we're talking about an educated coyote now, so if you're going to talk about educated coyotes, you need to pay attention. She never traveled a stock trail or a road. Now, where do we put most of our traps? On trails and on roads. Now, for the majority, just like he says, it's natural for coyotes to trot down a road, and they are easily caught. For fur trapping, roads and trails are awesome. But if you start actually going after a particular coyote, and you're only looking for sign in the roads or the obvious trails, stock trails, you're probably not going to find sign. See, that's one of these things that you need to know, especially if you're going to get into ADC. She avoided all lures, scents, and baits. And I'm reading this as a lure maker. I caught her in a blind trap, just a naked trap hidden in the ground, placed where I thought she might go to water. What did he use to catch the coyote? Both times, a blind set. We have preached blind sets and talked about blind sets and explained mafia sets and all this, and I guarantee you very few of you actually go out and put them to any amount of actual use. They are deadly. Another thing that I've talked about wolfers doing is they used to stack up carcasses just as far, you know, 40 or 50 feet upwind of where they're catching coyotes. It does not scare coyotes. I've heard over and over again that you got to get the coyotes out, you can't have any blood around the set, all this type stuff. He caught 54 coyotes by hanging them one at a time off a fence right next to the set. Pretty sure that means that the myth of coyote or carcasses skill at killing, scaring a coyote, pretty false. I can tell you from personal experience, it's false. We all always hear about the males being the hardest to catch. What did he say? They are not. The females, even when they are young, are more distrustful. There's been whole articles written on the importance of catching the dominant male. I've covered this over and over again. Males are not hard to catch, just like you are not hard to catch. Stranger knocks on your door and starts screaming in the middle of the night. Who goes to the door, mama or daddy? Daddy does, if he's got any sense of manhood in him at all. So if there's danger at the door, who meets the danger? Dad. Think about young males. They're the easiest to prod in doing anything because they think they're oblivious to getting hurt. Females are not that way, in people or coyotes. I can't tell a difference with cats. I can't tell a difference with coons. I can't really tell a difference with beaver. Not off gender. Coyotes, that is a different thing altogether. And I'm willing to bet it's the same for wolves. The females, even with young, are more distrustful. So what does that mean? What does that mean to the trapper to hear that? Guys, when we preach over and over about having natural looking sets, that is why. If you're just doing showy sets all the time because it makes you feel good to be able to see them at 50 yards away, to a distrustful coyote, they're not going to play your game. So you're probably knocking out 50% of the population by doing that. That's why you need a mixture. Showy sets for the brave, stupid ones, and gentle sets for the more distrustful ones. Now, this is one that I've heard a lot of people talking about this one for cats. I've used this set a lot in two different ways that I'm going to discuss, and I'm sure I've discussed these in the past. He talks about the habits of coyotes when they gorge on meat, about 6 pounds. Think about that, 6 pounds. Because I've made jokes, if I could get a whole cow in a hole, that's what I would want to do. They go about 40 or 60 yards away in open country next to the brush and where there is shade, and they dig out a hole, then the animal throws up the meat, still fresh and undigested, into the hole, covers it with earth, just as a dog buries a bone. So the cache set, that's a set. If you go as much instruction in schools as I've given, I've never seen a student make one. Never. I've seen them make it for cats, never for coyotes, and I don't understand why it doesn't have the reputation that it should, because it is so natural of a set. So one way that you do this is you dig a hole 6-8 inches deep. You put really loose dirt over it, and you scratch a bunch of crap over it, mix some dirt on top of it, and it looks just like a pile that something's dug and covered, because that's all it is. The trap placement on this is hard. Unless you don't, unless you've learned the lesson of not playing fair. When you put a trap on a cash A set, it is a complete gamble on what's going to happen. What did the old woofers, what did Mast and all them guys do when they set coyote traps? Three at a set. So if you make a cash A set, so it's go through what this set actually is. You dig down a hole 6-8 inches. You put a big chunk of meat, or you know, a couple of big teaspoons of a prepared bait from a lure maker. Maybe put some lure in there. You loosely put the dirt back on top of that. Then you get a bunch of pine straw or leaves or grass or soybeans, corn, whatever's around. And you pile that up till it's probably 6-8 inches tall and probably, you know, about as big as a pie plate. Then you cover some more dirt onto that. Now you got to put a trap. Do you know which way the coyote's going to come up to it? If you said yes, you got some learning to do. The coyote's going to go up to that in any which way he wants to, and every coyote can go up to do it a completely different way. You can think, and I agree with, you'd put it where the wind's going to blow over that, and that's where your trap's going to be. But that's not even close to a guarantee of what actually happens with the foot placement of a coyote when he comes. He may follow it up close, and then go behind to get upwind of it, because that's what a coyote does that's not trustful. He just doesn't walk in there like his nose is on a string all the time. Some do, a lot don't. So where do you put the trap? If you're using one trap, it's just throw the dice, baby. That's exactly what it is. If you think like the old woofers do, put three traps around it, about 18 inches out from your cache set. Watch what happens. Put them on drags. Wait till the first morning you do that and you go up and you have a double off one set. That's cool. That's memorable. That's the goal. I mean, just how cool is that, where everybody's trying to catch a coyote off a set, where you can catch two coyotes off a set. I mean, you're talking about upping the game. But the woofers used to just like kind of make a triangle, and they would bury them in, blend them in, and they would nail coyotes, which is the set that completely mimics what a coyote actually already does in his everyday life. If he kills a deer, sheep, goat, a dog, anything he's going to eat, a beaver, when you find the kill spot, you need to start looking around and walking around 40, 60, 80 yards out there, and you might be able to find actually where he's dug it. And if you find the one he's dug, put traps around it, blend it in. If not, put your own in. You can put it close to the kill if you want to. You can move it off 20 or 30 yards. This depends on what the landscape dictates. Simple cache set. No respect. Kind of like Dangerfield always talked about. The other way that I've used this particular thing is I would come across roadkill deer, and I would cut it at the back hip, and I would get all four shoulders off of that thing. I would get the guts out of it. I'd chop it in the middle, so I'd have both ends of the loin, and then I would cut it off at the neck. That's 4, 6, 7, 8 cache sets. I would find places that I thought the coyotes were gonna be. I would dig down a hole to cover it 2 or 3 inches, and I would literally stake it down, either with T-bars or with wolf fangs, depending on what it is. If it's a whole beaver that I've skinned, I've taken the casters and the oil sacks out, I would take a disposable around its neck, so when I beat it in, it tightened up. And then I would take a disposable around its tail, so when I beat it in, it tightened up. And I'd have this laid out beaver or laid out ham or shoulder or middle section of the ribs and the loin or the whole head down in this hole. And then I would just cover it back up with leaves and dirt where it looked like an animal did it, not like a human was trying to make a pyramid. And I would put, where I like doing these, I'm gonna tell you my favorite places to do this, is when coyotes started getting tricky, I would find trails that would lead off of main travel ways, and I would go where the wind's blowing over the cache set into the travel way, and I would get 8 or 10 feet up on that trail. I would put in the beaver or the deer parts, stake them down, cover them up, put 3 traps around it, and deadly. The thing about the cache set though, especially when it's buried like that, it usually takes 2, 3, 4, 5 days for it to click. It's gonna click. If you got coyotes in there and you got traps where they're stepping, you're gonna find out that you have it. Now the reason that I stake the bigger pieces down is it's the coyote's habit, just like your dog. If you give him food and he's nervous, he takes it and he runs off with it. A coyote's gonna do the same thing, and they can pick up a whole beaver, they can pick up a ham off a deer or the head or whatever it is, and they'll run off with it. Now they're nowhere around your traps. When you stake it down, they're gonna pull on it and run away. They're gonna pull on it and run away. They're gonna pull on it and run away, which means all those little feet are coming back over your traps over and over and over and over and over again. That's why it's so effective. It's a lot different with bigger bait than it is using commercial bait. Because a lot of times, if you're just in the wrong placement, they'll dig everything out like they will at a dirt hole, and you're just out of luck. So think about that when you're putting these sets down. Think about something, anything, that you can stake down. Like, if you just have bones, smear the commercial bait all over the bones, stake it down, then cover it up. If you got a turtle shell, pack it full of meat or bait, run a stake down through it in the middle, cover it all back up. If you don't have anything but a 20-pound rock, smear bait all over it, put your lure all over it, bury that son of a gun, and make it look like a cache set, just the way a coyote actually does it anyway. It's not hard. It's not sexy. It's probably not something you're gonna see a whole lot of in demos, unless someone listens to this radio show and they think it's a new thing because they don't really see it that often. This is a set that has been used back since the 20s and killed tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of coyotes. But we want to do punch holes with little bitty exposed traps with a little bitty sweet spot over them where it's perfectly sifted. Whether it's a male coyote that's dumb and bold or a female coyote that is more instinctively cautious, that set falls for both of those. Big bait sets underground, even when it's hot, like a beaver, for you guys doing this stuff in the summer, it doesn't rot as quick underground as it does on top of the ground. Coyotes will work that even though it's hot. If they're not going to try to eat it, they're definitely going to want to roll in it and be in coyote perfume heaven. You can do this with fish. It doesn't have to be a mammal. You can take a carp and stake it down. You can take, and I know someone in Louisiana is going to cringe at this because y'all make the most beautiful gar balls in the world, but no one else does that, so I'm going to say a gar. because that thing is tough. You almost need an axe and half frozen a chainsaw to get the scales off the dang thing. Any type of big fish. How many times have we been out trapping that you find dead fish, especially if you're boat or canoe trapping or kayak trapping? Take advantage of that situation. Go catch a dog with it. Super simple, super easy. But think about the story of what an actual educated coyote is. We just don't really have the pressure that they used to have today. We don't. So we're not seeing the type of coyotes that these guys had to deal with. Most of the time, an educated coyote is just being a normal coyote, and it's not following the game plan of the trapper. So the trapper can change his game plan, or he can get the same results. Blind sets are killer. Cache sets are killer. Now I'm questioning myself if it's cache set or cache set. I've always said, I think technically it's cache set. But the E always throws me off. Anyway, whatever you want to call it. You can call it the Trump set, because it's going to work just like Trump. I hope this has helped, guys. I hope y'all have a good week. Try not to get too sunburnt like I am. Go have some fun. Please quit watching the news. Please. Don't think that being on social media really means you're doing a whole lot. Don't get so aggravated. Don't let the riders that aren't standing in front of you ruin your day. Yes, they're dangerous. Yes, I think they're trying to start an insurrection, just the way that the black congressman from California said when she actually exposed what it was instead of rioting or whatever they're saying this is. Trust me, when you go out in the woods, all of that crap goes away. Get out on the water. Get in the woods. Get on a creek. Go camping. Go kayaking. Go canoeing. Do something. Get away from the news. Your sanity will appreciate it.